If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. And I said 25, and I've got 25 coming. So anyway, she put it up on the screen and pulled it off thinking that something went wrong. And it really didn't. I'm going to get to that in just a few moments. But the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24 that Jesus and his disciples had been in the temple, and they migrated up to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples wanted to show Jesus the Mount of Olives, or the temple from the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, "See not all of these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left one stone standing upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples said, "Lord, will you tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and they will deceive many. And he said, 'You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes." We know that in the world today that there are famines all around the world, that people are starving to death, literally. And we know that pestilence is the byproduct of war. And we know that there is pestilence and there are earthquakes in many places. You say, "Carl, there's always been earthquakes, but never have they been so frequent, and they're becoming more and more severe." He said, "All of these are the beginning of sorrows," or these are the very birth pains of the end of time itself. Understand that when you see all of these come to pass, just as a woman gives birth to a child and there's the birth pains, you know that the child is soon coming. And we know that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. Then it goes on to say, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be judged of all nations for my name's sake. And many false prophets will arise, and they will deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved." Then he goes on in verse 14 and said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." One of these days, the curtain is going to fall, and Jesus here in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, he deals with the doctrine of last things. And he tells us in chapter 25 about the parable of the sheep and the goats. Now, these are the last words of our Savior as he's getting ready to ascend back to the Father by way of the cross. Jesus came not just to live, but he came to die, and he went in the fullness of time. He came into this world, lived those 33 years upon the face of the earth, and then he ascended to the cross. I can visualize in my mind's eye that as the Lord ascends up Calvary's mountain, bearing the weight of the world on his shoulders, he that knew no sin was going to become sin for us. They nailed him upon that tree. Jesus shed his lifeblood. God turned his back on his son because of the sin that Jesus Christ took in his body. It was not his sins, it was our sins and the sins of all the world in order that he might make atonement. Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then Jesus Christ dropped his head and gave up the ghost. He paid the price ultimately for our sins. But chapter 24 and 25 is the last part of his teaching ministry. And in chapter 26, he begins to talk, or they began to deal with the passion section. So these are his last words that he is speaking to us. Not just to his disciples, but you and I that are here. And I believe that as the disciples sat expectantly waiting to hear these final words from the Savior, that we ought to be the same way this morning. That we ought to be just expectant, knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ, the time of his second coming, is so much closer than it's ever been. In fact, I think it's almost upon us. Well, he begins out with these words in verse 31 of chapter 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all of the angels are with him, and then he will sit on his throne. When the Son of Man cometh, or the Messiah, the one who comes to make things right in a world that has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Almost all expected the Messiah to come. Maybe not in the manner in which Jesus did come, but they all understood what he was talking about, that the Messiah was going to come. And their longing was whetted as he began to talk to them about last things. He was talking about the way that it will be when the curtain of time will fall, when this old world is rolled up like a scroll and all of it comes to a screeching halt. When the scales of history are balanced, when all is said and done. Kind of reminds me of the lady that went into the grocery store in the olden days to get a chicken. Went into the meat market area and she told the butcher that she wanted about a 2-pound chicken. And so he reached in the barrel and pulled out one, and it was a little bit less than 2 pounds when he put it on the scales. And so she said, I really want one that's 2 pounds. Well, he had put that chicken back in the barrel, and he reached in and pulled out a chicken. Put it on the scales, weighed just a little bit over 2 pounds. The woman said, well, I think I'll take both of them. And he only had one in the barrel. But there's going to come a time when the scales of time will be balanced, and the Son of Man will come with all of his holy angels, and he will sit on his throne, and he will be the judge. And before him will be gathered all the nations of the world. It said, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is the final judgment when all will be there. This is the time when our lives will be judged and examined for what they really are. You see, we have a testimony in our neighborhood today. People know us, and we have a reputation. We have a reputation at our workplace or our business, and when we go out for leisure and activities, people know us. But do they know us? God knows you. He knows everything about your life. He knows what you do. He knows where you go. He knows what you think. The thoughts and the intents of the heart, he knows. His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows. And before that God that is omniscient, that has a perfect knowledge of the past, the present, and the future, you will stand before him and account for the life that you have lived. This is the judgment of which there is no appeal. The question is frequently asked, who's going to be saved? Who's going to go to heaven? Who? Have you ever driven down the interstate or the highway and you look and you see some signs along the way that says, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? As though that we have a choice. And we do have a choice. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But he said, for me and for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You have a choice this morning. We're just passing through this old world. I remember when there was a time when I was younger that I could have painted all day and all night and been ready to go again. I went home. I got in my easy chair, my recliner, you know, and it kind of falls back and it just kind of contours to me. And I'm telling you, Virginia's been awfully sick, and she wanted me to do something. I forgot now what it was. I thought I was going to have to get a tow truck to get me out of that chair. But you know, I realize that we're just passing through down here. This is not your long home, but you're just a pilgrim and a stranger. And one of these days, you're going to get to the end of the road here. And then you're going out into that eternal world. The Bible said all the nations of the earth will be there. All the different religions. You see, the Jews will be there. The Muslims, they will be there. The Buddhists will be there. But so will the Baptists, the Free Will Baptists, the Methodists, the Assemblies of God. All of us will be there. And those that don't even have a religion, those that don't even believe in God, they're going to be there on that day. For it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. Judgment Day, he gives us an analogy, an example. Like a shepherd at the end of the day, he separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep go on the right side, the goats on the left side. Those on the right side go into heaven. Those on the left side go into hell. You know, I wish I could make that a little more palatable. But you know what the Bible says is what the Bible says. It's hell. And hell is a place of fire. It's a place of torment. And the Bible just reminds us of the fact that there are two choices that a person can make. He can choose Christ and go to heaven, or he can reject Christ and spend all eternity in hell. So the choice is ours. Then the analogy is stated in order to stir us and stimulate us to make a decision for Christ. The Bible said every knee will bow. I'm reminded of the young man that I worked with out in California when I was young, and I worked at a job and I was a youth pastor at the church there in Richmond, California. Anyway, we got close. He was a little older than me, and I got to talking to him about the Lord, and His name was Curly, and I talked to him about the Lord, you know, all the time, but this one particular day, I probably got pretty serious with him and got too close to him, and he wanted to disarm me when I told him that it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. He said, "Carl, I know that if I die the way I live right now, I'll die in my sins and I'll go to hell. But," he said, "if that happens, I'll walk right up to the Lord, I'll look him in the eye, and I'll take my punishment like a man." I'll never forget those words. But the Bible said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, there'll not be anybody that will be haughty and high-minded on that day. They'll all be humble before him. Because he has the power of life and death eternally in his hand. What would you do if you saw your neighbor's house on fire? You say, "Carl, I would run over there. I would knock on their door. I would beat on their door. I would get their attention. I'd tell them, and if I had to, I'd bust that door down. But I would get in there and tell them, 'Your house is on fire. Get out of here.'" But what would you think if you did that? And this man was sitting in there watching television, gun smoke, and it was not over yet. And he said, "Just as soon as Matt Dillon gets that crook, well, I'm going to..." You'd say, "That guy's crazy." But this old world is on fire. And people are dying and they're going to go to hell. All you have to do is just look in the obituary column. And you see that people are dying every day. I wish I could say that the majority of them are going to heaven. But according to the Bible, the broad way is where the majority are at. The narrow way is where the few are at. Well, the ultimate destiny. This is a serious business. The question that's on everybody's mind is, who are the sheep? And will I be in that number? You know, I like that song. You'll have to help me, John, but something, "I want to be in that number. And saints go marching in." Yeah. That's a good song, isn't it? When the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. If that doesn't get you kind of motivated and stirred just a little bit, then you need a better stirrer, you know. The requirements for judgment. "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And the Bible said you must be born again. You must. "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." And in the parable of the virgins in chapter 25, the Bible tells us that the cry went out that the bridegroom is coming, and the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They wanted to make ready to meet him, so they trimmed their lamps. But he delayed his coming. Can you not see where we're at in this world in that parable? He delayed his coming, and so they slumbered and they slept. But then at midnight, the cry went out, "The bridegroom is coming. He's almost here." And so they started trimming their lamps. But the foolish, their oil was gone and their lamps went out. The 5 wise had vessels along with their lamps, and they had sufficient. They were wise. And they said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, because ours have gone out." And they said, "Not so, lest we not have enough for ourselves and you. Go to those that sell and buy." And so they did. But while they were gone, the bridegroom came. And those that were ready, he took in. And the Bible says something I think is really noteworthy here. He said, and the door was shut. The door was shut. It just reminds me of the fact that when Noah was ushered into the ark, God shut the door. And when the Lord shuts the door, it's the door that no man can open. And those five foolish came up after they got their oil and they knocked on the door and said, let us in. And he said, I don't know you. I don't know you. It just reminds me of the fact that we're passing through this world and the opportunities to get right with God are while we're living. When you reach the age of accountability, you become responsible for your life. And you're accountable to God for how you live. And the Bible said you must be born again. So I remind you this morning of the fact that if God shuts the door on you, that door is shut. And it'll never be opened. Well, it reminds me of the fact that this old world is coming to a screeching halt. And I have said that never in my life have I ever seen such change so quickly in this world, and especially in America. Never have I seen the fact of our morals going downhill so bad. Never have I seen the fact of folks rejecting spiritual authority and rejecting Christ. Folks are so liberal today. I don't understand it, but it doesn't change the fact He's coming back. He's coming back. And I just believe that when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction is upon them as travail upon a woman with child, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They did eat, they did drink, they married, they bought, they sold. It was business as usual. And all of a sudden, the floods came. And that's the way it'll be. He's not trying to catch people unawares. But because of their lifestyle and hardness of heart, they'll not be ready. And when he comes and takes his children home, the door is shut. Bow with me for prayer.